fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. There's a siren screaming in my ear. Election days are colder when pushing from the rear is fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. And friends, I've never seen it quite so thick. Minds of clay are now of brick. Montana, Oklahoma, no, revolution is never near. With fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to World Focus. I'm Blaise Bonpain. There seems to be a problem with heads of state. In country after country, the people are just beautiful, and the heads of state are truly repulsive. This is certainly true of the unelected disaster in Washington today. It's also true, it seems to me, in England and Israel. 9 Israeli women's peace groups have told Palestinians that they support their efforts to indict Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon for war crimes. The letter from the Coalition of Women for a Just Peace in Israel speaks of the suffering of the Palestinians, and I quote, "Our hearts ache to recall the terrible massacre that took place in Sabra and Shatila refugee camps 20 years ago, which Israeli leaders allowed to take place. We condemn the brutal murders of your loved ones, and we condemn the leaders who must be held accountable for these war crimes, Ariel Sharon above all." The letter refers to some 1,700 Palestinians who were slaughtered in the massacre by Lebanese militiamen allied to the Israelis. Israeli troops surrounded the camps as the killings went on, but were told by their commanders not to interfere. Mr. Sharon was Israeli Minister of Defense at the time and was forced to resign after the Israeli Kahan Commission condemned him and several senior Israeli officers for not preventing the slaughter. The letter also recalls how Palestinians were forced to flee their homes in 1948. At the same time, Professor Avram Oz at the University of Haifa expresses an urgent warning signed by a host of Israeli and international academics. He says, "We, members of Israeli academia, are horrified by the U.S. buildup of aggression towards Iraq and by the Israeli political leadership's enthusiastic support for it. We're deeply worried by indications that the fog of war could be exploited by the Israeli government to commit further crimes against Palestinian people, up to full-fledged ethnic cleansing. The Israeli ruling coalition includes parties that promote transfer of the Palestinian population as a solution to what they call, quote, the demographic problem. Politicians are regularly quoted in media as suggesting forcible expulsion. Chief of Staff Moshe Lahon described the Palestinians as a, quote, cancerous manifestation and equated the military action in the occupied territories with chemotherapy, suggesting that a more radical treatment may be necessary. Prime Minister Sharon has backed what he calls this assessment of reality. Escalating racist demagoguery concerning the Palestinian citizens of Israel may indicate the scope of the crimes that are possibly being contemplated. We call upon the international community to pay close attention to events that unfold within Israel and in the occupied territories, to make it absolutely clear that crimes against humanity will not be tolerated, and to take concrete measures to prevent such crimes from taking place. It seems that in the United States and in Israel, the population is simply saying to the heads of state, quote, "We are better than that," unquote. After some relevant music now, we are going to have an announcement from Washington, and we have a very special guest from Israel, Alaya Strauss.
For men, fearing men, for loving men. If ever there was sense, this is the end. Dole returns even money, saying it just might be queer. Fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. Just look at any war and you will see. King Herod, Bosnia, 39 in Germany. In each their own time, in each their own gear. They had fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.
David Bryden, are you with us? Hello, David. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, that's good. You have an announcement for us about one of the great scourges of the world today. Could you tell us?
Yes, thanks for taking time out of the show. We've got a special event coming up in Los Angeles that I think will really help folks understand the extent of the AIDS crisis as it's affecting Africa and what can be done about it. And, you know, there's actually an article in the news today. The CIA has just made a new estimate on the extent of the epidemic, and it's far worse than anyone ever thought could be possible. But there are countries that are effectively confronting it with effective programs of prevention and treatment. And, of course, this is all about building political will and doing effective political work around it, because, as we know, when it comes to health issues are actually political issues. And so that's the one of the emphases of our organization, the Global AIDS Alliance.
And when is this?
Our event on Saturday aims to bring out some of those themes.
That's October 12th.
That's right. And, you know, we are really encouraging folks around the Los Angeles area to turn out for this. It's in Century City area at the Century Plaza Hotel.
That's 2025 Avenue of the Stars,
that's
Los
right.
Angeles. Do you have a phone number for people that
yeah,
might be?
You can reach Val Vanderwest at 714-612-6136.
We realize that unless we act, the global AIDS pandemic will claim the lives of 68 million people. Did you hear that one? 68 million people by 2020, devastating societies all over the globe, particularly in Africa. This must be stopped. So, David, I hope that people will follow up on that at the Century Plaza Hotel, 2025 Avenue of the Stars in Los Angeles, Saturday, October 12th, and this begins at 7:30 p.m., right?
That's right, and we do have our website. They can click on that for more information. We're at globalaidsalliance.org.
Okay, thank you so much. And the phone number again?
Yeah, you can reach us at
714-612-6136. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you.
And I wish you much success. And I'm very privileged now to introduce Elias Strauss, who has been a leader of Women in Black in Israel since 1990, and she's active in numerous women's peace organizations, such as the Coalition for Women for Peace and Bat Shalom. 1995, along with the Palestinian Woman, they were both Israeli delegates to the NGO World Conference on Women in China. In 1997, she was elected as the president of the Israeli section of Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. She's committed her life to achieving peace in the Middle East. The principles, the organization she belongs to, have many points which she will bring out to us. Thank you so much for being here today, Alaya.
Thank you, Blaise, for having me.
Could you tell us some of the things that you're doing at this time? And I'd also appreciate any comments on that were made earlier on the program.
Well, I certainly agree with my fellow women members in Israel who have put out that statement that we cannot allow such war crimes to be committed in the name of the Israeli people. We must struggle against that. And I do agree with what you read.
Thank you. I feel very strongly about it. I've been in touch with your wonderful peace movement in Israel for probably 30 years, and I know that there's so many people there that I compare them to the way we feel here at home. I don't see much difference. We frequently are dealing with a very warlike administration, and our people, as I say, are better than that.
I agree with that slogan. I'm taking it back with me to Israel. We are better than that.
Thanks. And could you tell us some about your work about ending the occupation and the establishment of a Palestinian state side by side with the State of Israel based on the 1967 borders?
What we have done since the let me go back further. We were very pleased. We were very happy with the 1993 Oslo Accords. We thought this is the beginning of a real peace process. We supported this peace process. We had high hopes, especially when Clinton came into office in the United States and seemed to be very interested in the peace process. We were very uncomfortable when Bibi Netanyahu was elected Prime Minister of Israel, but we continued to argue for peace. We worked very, very hard. We were out on the streets several times every week, handing out flyers, handing out stickers, talking to people, engaging in discussions on the streets with people when Ehud Barak was up for election. And we were very, very pleased that he took the election in 1999. And we thought, well, here we go. Now we're on the way. We were very pleased with his decision to take the Israeli army out of South Lebanon. We felt that this was the most positive step that had been done up till then. And so we were greatly encouraged for the peace process. We perhaps had an unpleasant awakening when the Camp David summit between Barak on one side, Arafat on the other side, and Clinton, we thought he was in the middle. We had high hopes that something would come of it, and we were disappointed. Then we discovered that the truth was that what Barak and Clinton had offered Arafat could not possibly be accepted by a Palestinian. And when the truth began to come out, and behind the spin that was put out that Barak had offered 90-some percent to Arafat, and here he refused it, when we discovered that the truth was that this 90-some percent was broken up into non-contiguous bits and pieces, called by one pundit Palestinian Swiss cheese, mm-hmm. and that Israel could control everything that went in or came out of this so-called state. When we heard that one of the conditions for Arafat signing this agreement was that he waive all further negotiations, that is, he couldn't even negotiate to make it contiguous, we, of course, understood why he, as the Palestinian leader, could not accept that agreement. At the same time, during all those Oslo years when we were supporting the peace process, we knew that the Palestinians were not happy with the process. We knew that the settlement movement was increasing, was expanding. The settlements were expanding. Land was being taken from the Palestinians, expropriated for more settlements, for roads that were for the settlers and not and paved over agricultural land. We knew that they were unhappy. The political analysts told us that the Palestinian society was a powder keg just waiting for a match. We knew it, and yet we hoped that that maybe with Clinton's help, maybe there could be some agreement, and then we could start moving on dismantling the settlements.
This is Blaise Bonpain. I'm speaking today with Alia Strauss, who has been elected to president of the Israeli section of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. She's here with us today prior to returning to Israel. Do you believe that there's a feeling in the Israeli administration that they would really like to just allow the occupation to continue? Do they consider that what is called Palestine simply part of Israel? Is that their view? Is it a greater Israel view? Or?
Yes. The majority of the present government, the majority of the parties which are in the coalition of the present government do have as part of their stand that greater Israel belongs, all of it, to the Jewish state, and the, as far as they're concerned, the Palestinians can disappear. The peace movement feels that this is unutterably ridiculous. Even if the Palestinians disappear, Israel still exists within the Middle East. We have to live with all of our neighbors. Living in peace is living in peace with your neighbors, not only with the United States.
Yes, we had a similar problem in the U.S. a long time ago, and maybe it's not a good comparison, but Jefferson had these 13 colonies, and he had all kinds of religious fundamentalists, witch burners, etc. And finally, they came up with a concept of a First Amendment, that there shall be no law regarding the establishment of religion. Is there any hope for such a future in the Middle East?
Well, certainly there's hope for a future like that. We have to struggle for it. We have to continue. The main thing that the peace movement has to do today, what we see is that both in the Palestinian society, there are the extremists who insist upon having the suicide bombers and terrorist acts. These are definitely the extremists. On the Israeli side, there are the extremists who say everything belongs to us. The rest of the world can go to hell. Mm-hmm. And then opposite that are the peace movements within the Palestinian society and within Israel. Now, what the peace movements have to do is to work on that large segment in the middle who are perhaps confused, who are afraid. The music that you put on, fear, fearing, fear, fearing, fear, it just hit me right in the pit of the stomach. That is it. That's the problem. And we have to work on that middle, that huge middle section, to convince them that peace is not about fear, it's about feeling good.
There was talk today of a nonviolent perspective being taken by some of the Palestinians. I don't know if you'd heard that.
Okay. It so happens that there was a survey that was commissioned by the largest conflict prevention and resolution NGO, Search for Common Ground, designed by Steve Kull of the University of Maryland, conducted by an institute at Tel Aviv University, and among the Palestinians by the Jerusalem Media and Communication Center. This survey found that an overwhelming majority of Palestinians would support a large-scale nonviolent protest movement, and most would participate in its activities. And among the Israelis, an overwhelming majority of Israeli Jews, believe that the Palestinians have a legitimate right to seek a Palestinian state, provided that they use nonviolent means. So if the majority believe that nonviolence is the way, we simply have to bring them closer together so that we can be a stronger movement and we can say to our government, no, we don't want violence, neither state violence on the Israeli side, nor extremist violence on the Palestinian side.
Certainly, I remember John Kennedy saying that those who make nonviolent change impossible make violent change inevitable. And we have to think about, I think every government has to think about that. We have seen in Central America people protesting nonviolently in the midst of the most horrible repression. And ultimately, I would say the ones in the streets won in that case because they now are represented in government as they never were before. But each area of the world, of course, is different. Now, you have a great number of international solidarity people in Palestine. I'm so impressed with what's going on there. I've heard from many of them. And some, of course, have come directly from Israel as Israelis,
yes,
bringing aid to the Palestinians.
Yes, yes. Well, on the one hand, there are the members of the international solidarity movement. They actually go to Palestinian villages, cities, and stay with the people, live with the people there. Most of these are young people who don't have family commitments as yet, and they can take the time, and they're beautiful people. I love them. On the other hand, we have the activists from Israel who organize through their, it's a large and varied peace movement. We organize convoys of trucks together with large numbers of people to go into the territories bringing medical supplies, food, blankets, wool, winter blankets, clothes. We collect them at various spots in Israel, and then they are conveyed to the Palestinians with these convoys of trucks and private cars. We are very often stopped by the Israeli police and the Israeli army. We are told that magically that area that we want to enter has been declared a closed military area. It is impossible for us to go in. Sometimes we get through. Sometimes we push. Sometimes we go on foot. Sometimes we manage to negotiate. We try every way possible.
I think that you're the groups that have the answer. You don't represent the problem. You represent the solution, and that is very exciting. I wonder, how can people get in touch with you? Is there a web or an email or some way they could reach you in Israel?
To reach me?
or your organization? I'll tell you what, if you
don't
have anything with you, they could contact us at the Office of the Americas,
yes,
and you could tell us
certainly
how to. So if you'd like to get in touch with Leah Strauss in Israel, you can contact us at the Office of the Americas, which, of course, is 323-852-9808, and we'd be happy to refer you to the Israeli contacts that you could reach her. She was elected in 1997 as the president of the Israeli section of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, known as WILF, and she's committed her life to achieving peace in the Middle East. The principles, the organization she belongs to, agree to ending the occupation, establishing a Palestinian state side by side with Israel based on the 1967 borders, recognition of Jerusalem as the shared capital of the two states, and opposition to militarism that permeates the Israeli society. Also, you mention equality, inclusion, and justice for Palestinian citizens of Israel.
Right. We have a problem within Israel, which has been with us for 54 years. That is the Palestinian population which lives in Israel, and they are citizens of the state of Israel. They see themselves as Palestinian. Some are Muslim and some are Christian. They are in a continuous struggle for equality in their civil rights. They feel that they have not received their fair share of the national cake, if you could say it that way, that their communities have not been funded in the same way that the Jewish communities have been funded. And this is a struggle for equality for all citizens of Israel.
Now, you are asking, and even in your talks, you've been asked, why are Israelis supporting Ariel Sharon? How does that? Well, of course, we have a slight problem as well. We have an unelected president at this time, so maybe we shouldn't even ask the question.
Well, Ariel Sharon was elected.
Yes.
He was elected in a democratic election.
Yes.
To tell the truth, 40% of the electorate did not vote because we were very, very upset over the having to choose between Ariel Sharon and Ehud Barak. I personally didn't want either one, but I voted for Barak because I felt that I really should vote in order to make it democratic. The reason that, and today in polls done in Israel, even though the overwhelming majority is for nonviolence and wants peace, they also the majority support Sharon because of the fear, of the extremists in the, among the Palestinians, the terrorists, the terrorism. This has hardened the position of the Israelis.
I see. How's our time going, Nathan? It looks like we're getting to the very end here. I'm so sorry the time has gone so quickly. I really am very grateful to Aliyah Strauss, who is with us and who has been elected president of the Israeli section of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. She's on her way back to Israel. And if you'd like to get a copy of the transcript of this program, you can call us at the Office of the Americas at 323-852-9808. And we do hope that our listeners will join us today, Sunday, October 6th at 1 p.m. and thereafter at the Westwood Federal Building for a march and rally, Not in Our Name. This is Blaise Bonpain with World Focus.
Each prophet that walked the world agreed. Pick anyone that you please. They say invite difference, and away we'll surely veer from fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.